Here in the first hour of Issues, Etc., we're going to spend a little time listening to Pastor John Hagee. You might have heard of him. He has a daily television program called John Hagee Today. He's also pastor of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. One of those that you might see, one of those televangelists that you might see as you're flipping around on the dial, or maybe you're one of the devotees to John Hagee's John Hagee Today program. Either way, during this first hour of the program, we're going to be listening to a recent message from John Hagee. He's going to be talking about this war in Iraq, and what it will mean for America, Israel, and the world. He actually has found this war in Iraq in the Bible, in Ezekiel chapter, he says what he's found in the Bible is what this war in Iraq will turn into. Ezekiel 38 and 39, we'll hear from him in just a moment on that. And he says what he delivers in this message today from Ezekiel 38 and 39 is more current than what you will see on Fox News if you were to turn it on right now, this very minute, this very instant. According to John Hagee, the newscasters can do their best to bring you instant communication from around the world, but if you turn to Ezekiel 38, 39, you'll know what's going to happen in Iraq and what's going to happen in this war in Iraq. Just a few hints here. It's going to involve Russia, the Islamic nations, a cabal of Europe and America, and the Antichrist. Oh, and China, too. China. Although he's not going to get to China in the course of this short message. Now, what we're going to be doing is what we usually do here on the program when we walk through popular television preachers and their messages. We're going to be listening for the hallmarks of a Christian message. Is this a Christian sermon? Now, you might call this teaching. I don't know. This is a daily program. You'll hear in the open that the goal of this program is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's just hold them to their own standard. Does the gospel of Jesus Christ get preached? Remember our little diagnostic test? Is Jesus mentioned? How often? Just keep track. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? If so, what are those verbs? What is the preacher saying that Jesus has done or is doing or will do for you? We're going to apply that little test here. Listen to what John Hagee has to say. Now, later in the program, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, part six of our 11-part series on Islam. We're going to talk about the Crusades and the rest of the story with Dr. Alvin Schmidt of Illinois College. Also later in the program, Pastor Will Whedon joins us from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, to talk about the apostle and evangelist St. Matthew. Today, the church remembers St. Matthew, this biblical saint. Now, in some of Hagee's message here, you are almost going to have, I've got one right in front of me because I'm well prepared. You almost have to have one of those books of charts and graphs to keep track of the end time scenarios that are, and I had to actually go to Tim LaHaye's book called Charting the End Times that has all sorts of pull out graphs and charts. So I can keep track of what God's going to do at the end times. Apparently the creed, he will come again to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Amen, is not enough. You got to have a book that about 150 pages of graphs. Well, I had to go all the way to page 87 of Tim LaHaye's book to figure out where we were on the end time scenario here in John Hagee's message. They pretty much read off the same hymn book, I think. We're talking about a strong dispensationalist message, a message that teaches that God has dealt with mankind through various periods in history in different ways. That man, in essence, how is man saved? The dispensationalist says, well, it depends on when you lived. Sometimes God saved people by their works. Sometimes he saves them by faith. How will the Jews be saved? Well, they'll just become true Jews again. We'll hear John Hagee talk about Israel being converted back to Judaism. Not to Christianity, but back to true Judaism a little later in his message as well. Now, you say, why are you talking about this guy? Because this is that off-the-wall kind of left-behind series stuff, isn't it? Folks, this is what a lot of people hear every single Sunday in church. Under the banner of preaching the gospel, what they hear is maybe a chapter or two out of Ezekiel or Daniel or some other Old Testament prophecy and the headlines of the day. This is what I've talked to people who used to go to dispensational churches, a lot of them non-denominational, some of them Assemblies of God, others Pentecostal churches. They'll tell you that it's all we ever heard. It's all we ever studied was end times prophecy. We'll find out whether or not it leads to the preaching of the gospel here in the course of this hour. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I want you to listen carefully. We always have to listen carefully. Even when you're sitting in church on Sunday, listen as carefully as you do during these segments of Issues, etc. Okay, so John Hagee is going to begin his message. He's actually picking it up where he left off, I think, in a previous week. And he's going to take us to something that he says is more current than what you see on Fox News, Ezekiel 38 and 39.
John Hagee today, going into all the world, making disciples, teaching believers the uncompromising message of Jesus Christ.
Thirdly, they know it would crush our economy. And they know that America, without oil, becomes even more vulnerable to terrorist attacks. And imagine an America where gas is $6, $7, $8 a gallon, where cars are not on the freeway, where trucks are not transporting, where planes are not flying, where tractors are not plowing to develop food. That's one real good terrorist attack away. And that has been talked about for the past 25 years in Washington, D.C., and you can guarantee it that the terrorists are talking about it right now. Where will this war lead America, Israel, and the world? Open your Bibles to Ezekiel 38 as we get ready to review something God had to say thousands of years ago that's more current than what you're going to see on Fox News at any time in the future. The war in Iraq is leading to the war described in great detail by Ezekiel in chapters 38 and 39. Listen to me very closely. Remember that Israel and the Jewish people are the apple of God's eye. If something in you resents the Jewish people, that something is not from God. Israel is the center of the universe and the Word of God. Israel was created by a sovereign act of God, and Israel is defended by God. For David said, "He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps."
Now this, I love it when they actually lay it out for you on a silver platter. But he has come straight to the heart of dispensational theology. Here, at the very beginning of this part of John Hagee's message, he has explained how he reads the Bible. This is how John Hagee and other dispensationalists read the Bible. He said, Israel is the center of the universe and of the Word of God. He has said very clearly that he believes the point of Holy Scripture is national Israel. And I gotta give him kudos for being honest. He's not trying to nuance it and say, well, we believe that Jesus is the center of Scripture, but Israel is also important. He just comes right out and says it. Jesus is, while he might be important, he's not near as important as national Israel. The modern state of Israel, he says, is the center of the universe, the center of the Word of God. Now John Hagee goes on to talk about the future of Israel and what this war in Iraq is going to turn into. It involves four great world powers.
Christianity owes a debt of gratitude to the Jewish people who gave the world the Word of God. Every word in the Bible was written by Jewish hands. This is the light of God. Every patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jewish. Every prophet in this book, Jewish, not a Baptist in the bunch. The first family of Christianity, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, Jewish. Jesus kept the law of Moses till the day he died. Jesus said in John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. What does that mean? It means if you take the Jewish contribution of Christianity away, the Word of God, the patriarchs, the prophets, and the first family, there is no Christianity.
Now, here's where you have to thread the needle. He's right. Salvation is of the Jews. That means that God sent the Messiah via his people of the Old Testament. The Hebrews, we should say. Jews is an ethnic designation. An ethnic designation. The Hebrews weren't all Jews. A Canaanite could come into the covenant of Israel through circumcision and become one of God's people, and ethnically, he was not a Jew. Strangers, foreigners, they could all enter in. In fact, the Old Testament clearly teaches that the whole goal of God's covenant with Abraham was to bring all nations into his covenant through Christ. Not through national Israel, but through Christ. But John Hagee, let's thread the needle here. John Hagee is saying, yes, salvation comes from the Jews, and Jesus was a Jew, and all of that is true. But just because you want to teach, as Scripture does, that being, and as Paul says, of what advantage is a Jew? Well, there are lots of advantages, but who is the true Jew? The one who has the faith of Abraham, not the chromosomes of Abraham. Just because you want to teach that doesn't mean you have a resentment for Israel. Jews are fine people. Just because you don't believe that national Israel is the center of Scripture and the point of Scripture, and you happen to believe that Jesus is the center of Scripture, doesn't mean you got anything against Jews.
Now let's go to Ezekiel 38 chapter. Where's the war in Iraq taking America, Israel, and the world? The Bible declares that in the final days, in the latter days, that's the Bible phrase, what I have called the end of the era, there are going to be four great powers on the earth. They're very simple. The king of the north is Russia, and I'll validate that in just a moment. The king of the south is Islamic nations. The king of the west is the Antichrist system, which is the revived Roman Empire. Some people are calling that the New World Order. Some people call that the European economy. And the third king is the king of the east, which is China and the Orient. You need to know that China has become the most capitalistic country in all of the world. China is exploding, and they're becoming very powerful. I would have no doubt that in the next few months, they're going to tell the United States of America, we're going to take Taiwan, and there's very little America will be able to do about it. Let me remind you of a fact recorded in Daniel 9 and 27, that after the church has been raptured, there will come out of Europe, out of this revised Roman Empire, a man of great power that the world calls the Antichrist. In Hebrew geometria, the sum of the letters of his name will equal 666. He will make a 7-year treaty with Israel, guaranteeing them safety and security in Israel. What is Israel building right now in Israel? A wall. Why? They want the terrorism to stop. We're getting very, very close.
Now, this is really the whole theme of his message, is we're getting close. Look at all the signs. Israel's building a wall. It's actually a fence. And they're building it, yes, to stop terrorism, to thwart the movement of terrorists from one place to another, basically to contain the terrorist element among the Palestinians. No doubt about that. He's right on that. He says, though, that's a sign that, and he's going to get into this whole issue of walls later as he does his particular interpretation of Ezekiel 38 and 39 about how that wall is significant, the defense that Israel is putting up to guard against terrorism. But this is really his message. All the signs are in place, as he's going to say here at the very end of his message. You can connect all the dots, therefore Jesus must be coming soon. Now, I want you to note something here, and he's going to mention this several times in the course of the next few minutes. None of this applies to you and me. Absolutely, positively, zero amount of what he's going to preach here applies to you and me, to Christians. Because according to his end-time scenario, Christians are going to be raptured out of the world in a secret rapture before any of this really gets going. Before anything gets really bad, Christians are going to be snatched up out of the world, and we're not going to participate in any of this. I don't know why he's preaching it to Christians, except to say, be ready. Be ready for Jesus to come back. Now, apparently being ready means you really got to pay attention to the headlines. And although he says he's more current than Fox News, you better be watching Fox News if you really want to know what's going on. Does Jesus say that we should be ready by paying attention to geopolitical affairs? I mean, he says nation will rise up against nation. There will be wars and rumors of wars. But he also says that that's just exactly the way it's always been. What is the sign, what is the sure sign of Christ's second coming? Tim LaHaye, Jerry Jenkins, John Hagee say the establishment of national Israel. Because, of course, Israel is the point of Scripture. Rather than what Scripture says, the sign of Jesus' coming is Jesus' death and resurrection. He says, or the angels say on his behalf after he ascends, he will come again in the same way you saw him go. What's the sign of his return? The way we saw him go. Now, are there the signs of the time and evidence around us? Of course they are. The same things that have been brewing in the world, generation after generation, century after century, since Christ ascended into heaven. We didn't have to wait for the establishment of national Israel to be awaiting Christ's second coming. What's interesting is Christians expected Christ's second coming after the fall of Israel in 70 AD, when there was no Israel, when there was no national state. They expected him to come again. Now, according to John Hagee's reading of Scripture, they were sadly mistaken. If they would have known any better, they would have said, no, Jesus can't come now, because and he won't until Israel is reestablished as a nation, which didn't happen until 1948. This is what you get when you read the Bible as basically an essay on national Israel rather than the cradle which holds the Christ. Now, the program we're listening to is John Hagee's program called John Hagee Today. He's pastor of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., doing our regular walkthrough of top popular televangelists.
This European power, this Antichrist, is going to make a 7-year treaty with Israel, and he will break it at the end of 3.5 years. As Ezekiel 38 opens, Israel has that treaty, and they're confident that this false Messiah, this Antichrist, will protect them from all terrorists and guarantee them national security. Ezekiel 38 opens with God saying in verse 3, turn to verse 3 and read with me, please. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O God, Prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Have I gone stone deaf? Are you not reading? Let's read that one more time. Let me hear you. I'm getting nervous about my hearing here. Behold, I am against you, O God, Prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Now, who is that? You just can't run over that and keep on going. Who is that? To identify these names, you have to go to the book of Genesis, because in the Bible, everything starts in Genesis. Everything that's good and everything that's evil. That's why it's called the beginning. Go to Genesis 10:1, and you will read these words. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Look at Genesis 10:2. The sons of Japheth are Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, and Meshech. The point is this. The names in Ezekiel 38:3 are the sons of Japheth. Follow this very critically. This is very critical because most prophecy teachers miss this point. Ethnologists tell us that the sons of Japheth, after the flood of Noah, migrated from Asia Minor to the north, beyond the Caspian and Black Sea. The land beyond the Caspian and Black Sea is Russia.
Okay, I want you to notice something here. This is interesting in its own right because he is kind of picking far in a field throughout Scripture to try and prove that these powers talked about in Ezekiel 38 and 39 are actually the modern-day Russia. About 20 years ago, John Hagee would have been saying Soviet Union. You notice they don't say that anymore. The players are able to change very easily under dispensational theology as quickly as the headlines change. If Russia were, say, for the sake of argument, that Putin somehow runs the place into the ground and it collapses even further than it already has, he'll just pick one of the other things and start preaching that that's the one. But you see, it's got to be that northern power because the whole scenario is built upon at the very center of this thing, national Israel. But here's the more interesting thing to note about the way he reads prophecy. He's not looking for Jesus in prophecy. He's not the least bit interested, not one whit interested in finding Jesus in the Old Testament. What is he interested in finding? Russia, China, the modern state of Israel, the Islamic nations, maybe America. He will a little bit later say he found one sidelong reference to America. England. He's looking for the headlines in the Old Testament. He's not looking for Jesus, the head of his church. He's not looking for Christ. In just a moment, he's going to start talking about a little bit more about the Antichrist. Dispensational teachers like Hagee are far more interested in finding the Antichrist in Scripture than they are finding the Christ. It's that simple.
Therefore, Gog, Magog, Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal comprise what we call present-day Russia. How many of you have that clearly in your mind now? An ethnologist is someone who studies the migration of people. Now, who will come to war against Israel with Russia? Ezekiel 38, 5 and 6. Read with me. 5. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them. All of them with shield and helmet. Verse 6. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah, from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Who is that? Persia is Iran. That's real easy. It's never changed. But Ethiopia and Libya have two different references in the Old Testament. There are two nations in Africa to this day that carry that name. But that's not the right place. There were two states next to Persia, which is Iran, that were known as Ethiopia and Libya when Moses fled Egypt after he killed the Egyptian. How many of you are familiar with that story? He went into the wilderness where he married an Ethiopian woman. This caused a racial problem in Israel. But listen, he did not go south into the Ethiopia of Africa. He went to the Ethiopia of the Arabian Peninsula and there married an Ethiopian who was a Shemite. When Ezekiel speaks of Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, he is speaking of Arab states.
We got to stop it here because we're getting close to the break, too. But I want you to notice something here. You actually, in order to buy into his scenario, why not Ethiopia and Libya of Africa? Why not? That's what I ask. He says it's not the Ethiopia and Libya of Africa. It's the Ethiopia and Libya, which apparently can only be found by John Hagee on ancient maps, that are Arab states. Now, they may well be Arab states. I don't know why Moses couldn't have found an Ethiopian wife hanging around in the Midian desert. I don't know why, but anyway, this is all about not finding Jesus in prophecy. In fact, I would say that Hagee and dispensational teachers fairly well bend over backwards to avoid Jesus in the Old Testament, because they're looking for something else. Jesus says, you search the Scriptures, you think in them they have eternal life. These are the ones that testify about me. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I guess you've probably seen the healing services on television, but do these faith healers have a biblical understanding of faith and healing? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is titled Order Restored, A Biblical Interpretation of Health, Medicine, and Healing. It's published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Order Restored costs $20.99, plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Order Restored on our website, issuesetc.org. Just click the What's New section. How important are faith, attitude, and community in healing and wellness? Find out with Order Restored, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. 1-800-325-3040. Or look it up on issuesetc.org.
Scan a map of the world and you'll notice many countries where tens of millions of people know nothing about Jesus Christ. This Global Minute lets you hear that you don't try to reach the masses, but you pray to find one open individual. That's the idea behind short-cycle church planning, according to Avant Ministries, formerly known as Gospel Missionary Union. The strategy is to pray and work to start churches in brief periods of time from 1 to 3 years. Leaders with Gospel Missionary Union changed the more than 100-year-old name of their ministry to reflect the new focus, which they say is modeled in the Book of Acts, chapters 13 and 14. Avant missionaries pray to find the men and women in a culture who truly want to know more about Christ and can then spread God's word to others. Pray for God's blessing. Avant Ministries asks you to use your skills in missions. Visit the website www.avmi.org. That's avmi.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. When I walked into the house the other day, the first thing I did was go through the day's mail. I came across something from our church. The envelope said, "For Hurricane Relief." I didn't open it, just left it on the stack that I laid down, and it was there until today. Now, sometimes you'll hear Christians go on and on about spiritual warfare. St. Paul says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Well, yes, but how is little me, or little you, going to go out and fight cosmic forces of evil? Sounds like Don Quixote tilting at windmills. A hurricane is a force of chaos, nature's rebellion against the Creator who tamed chaos. When Jesus told his parable about burying or not burying our talents, he was really talking about exercising faith. There are people, and I'm one, who like to think about cosmic things of theology. And doing so, we can also bury our talents from their intended benefit of serving others. The best thing about a donation to Hurricane Relief is that it joins us in the battle against things that just ought not be. I'm sending in a donation.
There's a congregation whose doors are open for you, right in the heart of the metropolitan area in Ladue. It's Village Lutheran Church, 9237 Clayton Road, just 1 mile west of the Galleria. Village Lutheran Church is an underwriter of Issues Etc. Their phone number, area code 314-993-1834. Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, www.villagelutheranchurch.org. In 25 minutes, Dr. Alvin Schmidt joins us for part 6 of our 11-part daily series on Islam. Today we're going to talk about the Crusades and the rest of the story. Dr. Alvin Schmidt of Illinois College and author of the book, The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. We're listening to John Hagee from his John Hagee Today daily program. He's talking about Ezekiel 38:39, about this war in Iraq, what it's going to turn into. Now, by the way, let's not misunderstand him. He's not talking about this war in Iraq turning into the Battle of Armageddon. He's just saying it's going to turn into what will later turn into the Battle of Armageddon. So where are we on his message? So far, we've heard a lot about the false Messiah. We'll hear a little bit more here in just a moment. Haven't heard very much about the true Messiah, if anything at all. Apparently, that's not important in order to understand Bible prophecy. We've heard a lot about the Antichrist. We'll hear a little bit more. Have we heard anything about the true Christ? No, not so much. Apparently that's not so important for understanding Bible prophecy either. Now, if you've ever seen John Hagee's program, he's got huge graphics behind him of world leaders, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, all the people who are supposed to be the principal players in this scenario that he's spinning out about the end times. It'd be nice to get a picture of Jesus in there occasionally. At least people would be able to see if they're not going to hear about Jesus.
Speaking of an Arab coalition, he is speaking of an Islamic union that's coming together. And he says in verse 6, "Many people with thee." When Russia comes against Israel in the future, she will come with an Islamic coalition of nations whose objective is to crush and destroy Israel. Why? Russia wants the oil of the Persian Gulf to become a superpower again. And fact, listen now closely, when a king of the West, that would be the Antichrist, out of this beast system that has all of the power of Europe and America behind him, when the king of the West backs the Jewish claim to Israel, the Arab states, the king of the South, will turn to the king of the North, which is Russia, and Russia will lead them into war against Israel. When is this going to happen? Ezekiel 38 and 8. Read it. After many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel. In the latter years refers to the end of the age, what I call the end of the era. In the latter years, it could be during the tribulation or it could be sooner. Now look at Ezekiel 38:11. Read it with me. You will say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. I've referred to the fact that Israel is building the wall. Why are they building the wall? They're building the wall to stop terrorists. But here in 38:11, thou shalt say, thou who, the Russian and the Arab coalition, I'm going to go up to the land of unwalled villages. Why? Unwalled villages means, in a prophetic sense, that it is an unprotected city. A city that's living in peace. Why? Because of the peace that they have made with the false Messiah, the Antichrist.
Now, folks, these are the folks, the dispensationalists, who will accuse guys like me, who simply read Scripture in a little more Christ-centered way, they will accuse us of spiritualizing and of not taking Scripture literally. Have you noticed what he's been doing here? He'll say, now, the king of the East, that's Russia. The coalition of the South, that's the Arab countries. You know, this and that's China. Strictly speaking, he's not reading this literally. What he's doing is he's taking the headlines of today and reading them back into biblical prophecy. The interpretive key for the dispensationalist in this modern day for reading Scripture is, number one, the national state of Israel. Number two, geopolitics and the headlines. That's the interpretive key. That's how you understand the Bible. That's why he says it's so important to understand who these various entities are today. Otherwise, you can't understand prophecy. Now, Jesus says the key to prophecy. What is it that John says? In the book of Revelation? Yes, he says the spirit of prophecy, Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. He didn't say Israel. He didn't say Russia. He didn't say understanding the headlines. He says that Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Not only the content and the source, but also the interpretive key. Jesus says, if you want to understand the Scriptures, this is what he says to his opponents, you must realize that they testify about me. Now, if you can read the Bible without Jesus in view and come up with almost any scenario you want to, and if you're willing to change the players on the program as often as the headlines change, you really have no problem with any kind of stuff like this. What you will not find is Jesus Christ, and therefore, Jesus says to his opponents, you won't find eternal life. It's that simple.
Ezekiel 38:13, read it with me. Ready? Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish and all their young lions will say, have you come to take a spoil? Now, that's the only place in the world that America is referred to indirectly. As far as prophecy is concerned, America is not a blip on the screen. And people who are writing books about America and prophecy, it's just not there. Here's the only place we're remotely mentioned. England's symbol is the lion. America is out of England, therefore we are the young lion. We are the offspring of England. Why doesn't America attack the Russian Islamic coalition that's coming against Israel? Maybe the church has been raptured and the United States economy has already collapsed. Or maybe after Iraq, the Americans stay out of the Middle East, simply overwhelmed by the magnitude of Islamic hatred and hostility, and after Iraq, we want no more of the Middle East.
Or maybe we elect Arnold Schwarzenegger president and he decides to turn America into a theme park. Or maybe America isn't on the scene anymore. Or maybe, see, it's a prophecy of maybes. Because we don't know what the headlines will be 2 weeks from now. We can't tell. So everything's got to be a maybe. He has broken with a lot of dispensationalists in the last few phrases there. where he says that in biblical prophecy, America is barely a blip. He even argues there that in, what was the passage he referenced? Oh, I can't remember. It doesn't make any difference because he's misreading it anyway. He says that's the only place where America even appears in a peripheral way there in Ezekiel 39, someplace in there. You can read it. You find it any place you want to, folks. Because remember, you can change the players as often as you want to when the headlines change. There are a lot of dispensationalists who would take issue with John Hagee. They think that America is in biblical prophecy. They think the Bible does prophesy the existence of America and a crucial place in America in end times prophecy. Hagee is old line dispensationalist. He is getting his stuff from the notes of the Scofield Reference Bible. In fact, you really don't even have to listen to John Hagee. All you got to do is open up to Ezekiel 38:39 and read the footnotes of the Scofield Reference Bible, and you basically, in an updated version, by the way, you got to get an updated version since the fall of the Soviet Union. Then you'll probably, maybe they're coming out with a new edition now that we've had the war in Iraq. You see, you've got to continually update the interpretation as world events unfold. What was true 50 years ago in the dispensational pulpit cannot be said to be true today. Because they were attaching and assigning different identities to all of these prophetic entities.
But there's a definite reason why we do not go in. Ezekiel 38:16, read it. How many are coming against Israel? Read it. You will come up against my people, Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. And it will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O God, before their eyes. It will be like a cloud that covers the land. Translation, millions. When I am hallowed, the word hallowed in the Hebrew means sanctified. Sanctified actually means purged and washed by blood. God is saying to the Russian Islamic coalition, I'm going to come against you and I'm going to bring death and destruction to you until no one in the world can doubt that I am Almighty God. Right now, when Yahidis kill Americans and hoist their bodies in the air, they shoot guns in the air and scream, God is great, God is great, God is great. We are having a war of theology in the Middle East, and God's sitting on his throne saying, look, I'm going to show you people really who is great. I'm going to put on a power demonstration that's going to take your ever-loving breath, and the whole world is going to know when the dust settles, there is one God, and he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and there is no other!
You know what, John Hagee? God has already done that. He did it at the cross. John Hagee is waiting for God to put on this power demonstration to show everyone who the real God is. And he's missing entirely, apparently, according to this message, when God actually did do that. When he did vindicate himself as the only true God through sending his son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of man, with a perfect human nature, living a perfect life on our behalf, going to death on a cross as a perfect sacrifice for sinners, and then raising him from the dead. God already demonstrated who he is through his son Jesus Christ, and that he is the one true God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By raising his son from the dead. You see what happens when you read scriptures with some other interpretive key besides Jesus Christ? You miss Jesus. You go looking for something better than the cross and the resurrection. That's what John Hagee's looking for.
Now, how is God going to deliver Israel from this holy war? How is God going to deliver Israel from this Russian Islamic horde? Look in Ezekiel 38:19. God says, I'm going to annihilate those who come against Israel in three different ways. Ezekiel 38:19 said, I'm going to cause the greatest earthquake in world history to strike at the very moment these people start to invade. Just as I buried 25,000 people who lifted their voice against Moses, so am I going to bury alive millions of people that come against Israel. Secondly, in verse 21, I'm going to destroy them by the sword. Do you remember how that when Gideon broke the pictures, the Philistines turned on each other with a sword? And Gideon didn't have to lift his hand, and they fought against each other and destroyed each other. God's going to do it again. And then he said, thirdly, there will be a great rain of hailstones, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to pulverize the earth. In verse 22, how many are going to be killed by the hand of God? If you have a King James Bible, in chapter 39, verse 2, it says, I will turn you back. Who? The Russian-Arab coalition. I'm going to turn you back and leave but a sixth part of thee. That means 5 out of 6 will be killed. That means 82% are going to be buried. In 39:4, God says, I'm going to feed your bodies to the buzzards. Do you remember how Goliath threatened David, saying, I'm going to leave your body as bird bait. I'm going to let the buzzards eat you. It is a Middle Eastern curse, if you will, to say that that's going to happen. It is the most dishonorable kind of burial possible. God is saying, I'm going to allow the buzzards of the world to eat your body. Why will God destroy the enemies of Israel in this miraculous military manner? Let's read Ezekiel 39:7. So that his name will be made holy in Israel. Say that with me. So that his name will be made holy in Israel. Israel today is full of secular Jews. They're not kosher. They don't read the Torah. They don't love the Torah. They have no heart for God. But following this massive annihilation, when millions come against them and the nations of the world are not coming to their assistance, and they feel it's absolutely certain they're going to be destroyed, suddenly the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob says, my fury shall come up in my face. God has said, I'm tired of the nations of the world picking on the apple of my eye. And he extends his mighty right hand and he annihilates the armies that come against Israel. And then the Bible says that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is going to be glorified in the streets of Jerusalem. They are going to have a spiritual revival in that nation. And the people in that nation will say, there is one God. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's the Holy One of Israel. Bless his holy name.
You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing this morning's message by Pastor John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. He has a program that's on television every day called John Hagee Today, and we're going through his message. Notice what happens with Israel here. It's not a conversion to Christianity. He did not say that. He says, well, the problem with Israel today is that they're secular, they're not kosher, and they don't respect the Torah. Well, apparently, when God vindicates them at the winning these battles to which the Iraqi war is building up, according to John Hagee, they're going to become true Jews again. They're going to know who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is somehow, apparently, apart from Jesus Christ. He's not talking about a conversion to Christianity. Some dispensationalists do talk about a conversion to Christianity. They're probably somewhat right there. I mean, Paul seems to indicate that there will be some kind of a great return of ethnic Jews, to the true faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is, by the way, in Jesus Christ. If all that happens is that secular Jews become Orthodox Jews, they'll still go to hell. Because Orthodox Jews reject Jesus Christ. I don't know how that works out exactly in dispensational theology, but I know that dispensationalists do talk about a rebuilt temple, reinstituting the sacrificial system. Now, why do you need sacrifice in a rebuilt temple if Jesus is the temple, destroyed and raised up after 3 days, and if the sacrifice he made there at the cross put an end to all sacrifice? Go figure.
Ezekiel 39:12 says it will take 7 months for Israel to bury the dead with every bulldozer they have. 7 months. Think about that. It will take 7 years to collect the weapons of war. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. That's something later. 7 years to collect the weapons of war. And what will be God's response to Israel? I want all of you replacement theologians to listen to this and gnash your teeth while I read it. Ezekiel 39:29 says, "And I will not hide my face from them anymore." That's Israel and the Jewish people. "For I will pour out of my spirit on the house of Israel, as says the Lord God." And he says in another location, "It will be the spirit of grace." God is saying, "For years they have been estranged from me, but I'm going to put my arms around them, and I'm going to pour out my spirit on that house."
You know what, folks? This already happened. God did not wait for the last day to do this. You remember the book of Acts, the first couple of chapters, where Peter and the disciples are behaving so oddly, and the people of Jerusalem and from all over the world say, these men must be drunk. And Peter says, no, we're not drunk. This is the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel said. In that day, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This has already happened. I think part of the problem, this is why the reformers used to call this kind of theology Jewish myths. Because dispensational theology has basically taken the national hope that Jews commonly had at the time of Jesus, that Jesus would be some sort of earthly king to bring about an earthly military conquest. They've taken that and they've plugged it into their end time scenario. The cross becomes a footnote. Redemption becomes kind of a sideline that Jesus does just to take care of the Gentiles, when his real goal is to just keep the Jews Jews, and they'll be saved, I guess, by their works. I don't know. There, you can find dispensationalists who say that they'll become Christians. Back to John Hagee.
Let me make the conclusion of this message very quickly now. One, America is at war with a fanatical enemy who has one objective, our absolute destruction, and don't you forget that. Secondly, Israel has been at war with these terrorists for 50 years, and there is no peace with them other than to allow them to destroy you. Thirdly, the winds of war are now blowing over the Middle East. The forces of Islamic terrorism have, in fact, joined with Russia right now. How? The Iran nuclear project is headed by Russian scientists, and believe me, they certainly have the leadership, the approval of Russian leadership, or they wouldn't be there. Secondly, Russia was also in bed with Iraq before the United States invaded there. So Russia has already gone and put the Russian bear's claw around the Islamic coalition. One bomb into Iran's nuclear plant could start the holy war. And believe me, that could happen this afternoon. And that holy war is described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. One terrorist attack by a plane loaded with explosives into a major refinery in Saudi Arabia, certainly five or six of them at the same time, would wipe out for 12 to 18 months the energy resources of the Middle East. And the American economy would vaporize. And that's so completely possible that 25 years ago, in the Reagan administration, they had a contingency plan for it. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ will be raptured from the earth before this starts. The point I'm making to you today is that I have been teaching this prophetic theme for 45 years. And when I started teaching years ago, when my hair was jet black, people looked at you like you were crazy, saying the last war was going to be in the Middle East. But go further back. When my father taught this, there was no Israel. And the only people in the Middle East were a few people riding camels going across sand dunes. The oil was not a factor. He sounded like an absolute madman saying that was going to happen. Now, here we are, some 50, 60 years later, and all of the dots connect.
Now notice, none of what he has said here applies to Christians. It's all about what's going to happen later, after Christians get raptured. They're going to be raptured out, according to his view. Dispensationalists have replaced Jesus with national Israel. They have replaced the forgiveness of sins with a rapture. It's that simple. Your hope is just to escape a bad economy while gas will be $6 a gallon. God would not want Christians to have to pay $6 a gallon for gas and to live in a bad economy in America, so he's going to rapture us first. Here's his final prayer and his conclusion.
Jesus Christ could be here this afternoon. There is nothing to delay his coming. I want you to get your eyes not on the cares of this world, but the coming of Jesus Christ. Will you stand? While your heads are bowed and the organist is playing, how many of you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if Jesus Christ came right now, you're ready to go to heaven? No doubt you're ready to go. Let me see your hands. Slip it up. Put your hands down. Those of you that couldn't...
Now, we can't let him finish his prayer because our time is running short, folks. Jesus is just there as a safety net to keep you from going through the tribulation. That's the dispensational message. Jesus is just there as a safety net. Really, it's just a matter for the dispensationalists of choosing the right side so you don't get killed in a war. Or I think eventually you would probably suffer hell, too. But the real point is you latch onto Jesus so you can get raptured out of the tribulation. And if you're not ready, you'll be left behind. But, oh, don't worry. According to Tim LaHaye, Jerry Jenkins, and John Hagee, you'll get a second chance, too. This is what happens when you read Scripture. The book of Ezekiel is there to point us toward Christ and the fulfillment of all things in Jesus. It does it through odd and obscure visions? Yes, certainly. Easily misunderstood and misinterpreted? Yes. Unless you read Scripture the way Jesus tells us to read it, and that is with Him as the sum and substance of all biblical prophecy. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Here's an AMA 50 KFUO salute to our day sponsors on this Tuesday, September 21st, 2004, the Gieselman family. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to AMA 50 KFUO in loving memory of Christian parents Reverend Walter and Mrs. Anita Gieselman. The family is grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of a Christian heritage. Once again, a very special thank you to the Gieselman family of Maryland Heights, Missouri, today's AM 850 KFUO day sponsors.
In honor of the fun-loving river otters, the St. Louis Zoo presents Ottertoberfest on Saturdays and Sundays through October 10th from noon to 3 p.m. There will be food, live music, crafts, storytellers, and otter-related kids' activities, including Oompaw Otter Slide, Otter Feeding Frenzy Game, the Otter Tracks Game, Puppet Craft, and Coloring Sheet. Activities are designed for kids ages 2 to 10. Visit stlzoo.org for more information about Ottertoberfest.
Our study in the book of Amos takes us through chapter 3 into chapter 4 next time with Pastor Mark Hawkinson here on AM 850 KFUO, Clayton, St. Louis.
AP Network News, I'm John Belmont. Another disturbing day in Iraq. An Islamic website says a second American hostage has been killed